Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Over on the text line, before we go back to some of your calls, my goodness, some of these texts are horrible. The question I should have asked our previous caller. No. Let's see. Vince, should we allow openly gay or Muslims Jews to read to our children? The trans story's a non-story. Please move on. Really? Vince, I suspect there will suddenly be new policy when the KKK wants to host Story Hour. Yeah, probably. If we care so much for our kids in South Carolina, why do we give them a crap education system year after year? And this, Jim out of Easley. Rachel Maddow reads fairy tales to the nation every night, so what's the big deal? Let's go out to Greer, the sprawling metropolis of Greer, or some people say Greer. And here is Kat. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. We're growing.
Okay. I believe you. You have a lot of room to grow.
That is true. Vince, I've enjoyed the conversation this morning, but I've noticed some things that seem to be contrarian to me.
Okay, hit me.
Last caller, Matt, just mentioned that you guys felt it was unfair to base your identity solely on one aspect, but then the Tea Party leader is boiling down the trans, you know, to one part of their identity. Does that seem fair?
So you think, so you're concerned that Presley and the Tea Party is defining this person entirely based on their transgender status. Is that
Absolutely.
What you're saying?
The conversation, the protest is about sex. Was
right.
the content of the book being read sexual?
No, but I think it's the presence of, you know, I think this is propaganda. That's what it is. And I think that's what concerns people. I don't think it's a concern. I think everybody would agree what this man does in a bar or wherever else. Who cares?
So why is he relegated to a bar? This is who he is. He goes in public this way. Why not the public library?
Well, I mean, no, I don't think anybody's trying to.
People who looked like you were not allowed to go in public every place. But progressives would have encouraged people of color to share their perspective with their children. The idea that we are all people of value and we should respect that and appreciate our diversity.
I see. So you don't see any propaganda. See, I see a clear difference between what someone does, something that's very private, and my identity. For instance, I think it's an insult, for instance, for somebody to compare me being black to someone who is transgender or homosexual. I think that's insulting.
Well, I apologize. I didn't.
No, I know you didn't mean to do that. I didn't take that personally. I want you to understand that. I'm not hitting back at you, Cad, but I'm just sure. wanting to make it clear. I draw a distinction between what I choose to do sexually and something I believe God created me to be on the outside. He
right,
created you to be a man.
From your perspective, sexuality
yes.
is a choice.
Sexual behavior is a choice, and that's the key thing here. Sexual behavior, no matter who you are and what you are, is a choice. So if as a heterosexual, there are still things that are profoundly inappropriate for around
well,
children.
I argue that being a drag queen doesn't necessarily have anything to do with sex. It's dressing up in clothes.
Okay. Okay. Aren't you a little bit concerned this is confusing for children? Why is a man dressing up like a woman? Don't you think that would confuse and screw with a kid's mind?
Part of his identity is rooted in femininity.
Okay.
And I think that we don't give children enough credit. I have a young son, 4.5 years old, and he goes to a very diverse daycare. Incredibly important to me that he be exposed to people that are not like him.
Right.
And while he doesn't question the differences, he appreciates them. We talk about them. He's privileged. He is a white, as far as I know, cisgender, male, heterosexual in our country. He checks all the right boxes. If he identified other than any of those ways, his life is going to be different. And I want him to appreciate these differences in other people and respect the fact that different does not mean bad.
Okay. And I agree. Different is not necessarily bad. Then we have to define different. But Kat, it's been some good conversation. Thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. And
thanks for having me, Vince. Have a good day.
You as well. Hopefully we'll have the opportunity to talk again. Very respectful conversation, even though we don't agree on this particular issue. Excuse me. Let's go out to Taylor in Simpsonville. Good morning.
Vince, good morning. Now, I got to address two of your last callers. So, Kat, a really good conversation. I like how she has her narrative. But, oh, man, I got to say it if you want. This is the type of the liberal left that cannot wait. This type of parent cannot wait to go have tea with her girlfriends and just be super excited that her son has grown up to be gay. It's like that's what they're pushing their kids to be nowadays. You hit the nail on the head. This whole thing was propaganda. That's all it was. This Riley Hunty, the drag queen that orchestrated this whole deal, he's a gay man in his day-to-day life. I don't think we would have got the lashback from the community if we had a gay man dressed in normal clothes come into the library to say, hey, I'm gay and I want to read to your kids because I want to show them that we look just like you. We walk around just like you. We don't look any different. So please don't target us and kind of show the acceptance and the love that they say they were pushing. But that's not what they did. They went to the far extreme. And I'm so glad that Matt called in because, I guess let me back up a little bit. I'm Taylor Cox. I'm the one who started the petition to shut this whole thing down. So between our petitions, we got over 9,000 signatures, and the thing just kind of snowballed. So then we got Presley Stutz with the Tea Party involved to help us orchestrate a protest. But we had a lot of people from the LGBTQ community reach out and say they within their community, they compare drag queens to the gay community like white supremacy to the white race. Just because we're both white doesn't mean that I agree with that lifestyle any which way, shape, or form. And by the drag queens coming out and saying, okay, we're no longer different, we want to be normal, you're normalizing adult entertainment. This is no different than a parent taking their four-year-old to a rated R movie. Is it illegal? No. But just because it's not illegal doesn't make it right. It's adult entertainment, and that's what it is, and now they're pushing this on our kids. So next, we're going to see liberal moms hosting, rooms at the library, inviting prostitutes to come in to teach their kids how to manage money because now they're entrepreneurs that run a cash business.
I like that. That's a clever idea, Taylor. You shouldn't have said that. Now somebody's going to actually do that. Great to talk with you, Taylor. We'll get to more of your perspectives as we continue the broadcast this morning. Back to the Vince Coakley radio program and this drag queen story hour subject is really generating a lot of discussion. We'll keep it going here for a bit. First going out to Clover, and here is Stan. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning, Vince. How are you?
All right, sir.
I have a term equality, and I'm relating an experience that I had. I'm going to make a couple of comments after I tell you this experience. I went to a bar one night, and I met somebody there. And I got developed a rapport. And in the end, his car didn't start when we left, and I gave him a ride home. On the way home, he let me know that he was gay. And I basically told him that I was a Christian. I introduced him to Jesus Christ and had a serious conversation with him. And what he told me confirmed something I'd always thought. He told me that the reason he became gay is because the American woman that our society produces today, as a result of all the equality stuff, does not mesh well with the typical male ego.
That is rather interesting. So he's basically pursuing that lifestyle in reaction to what he's experienced from women.
That is correct. In other words, women ask me all the time, is chivalry dead? Yes, you got what you wanted.
Congratulations.
But there's one thing I don't want to say. I have a desire as a male to have sexual relations with every beautiful woman that I see. Should I choose to do that? No. If I even went to a school and tried to teach their children that that's what they should do, that was normal, they would throw me out, and they should. What you choose to do cannot be equated with a physical characteristic such as your skin color. And to do so, just you're not even thinking logically.
Yes, we're talking again about the difference between behavior and, you know, any number of descriptions of how you look or how you feel or whatever it is. Those are really, in many ways, those are immaterial. What matters is, what do you choose to do, and who are you trying to subject to that behavior? That's the question. I mean, I appreciate your call there, Stan, and what's intriguing about this, and, you know, I'm perfectly willing to respect everybody and their choices and what you do in the privacy of your own home. It's a very different ballgame altogether. If you're going to come and tell me what I have to accept and celebrate, that is a problem. Let's go to Philip in Charlotte. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I listened to this talk, and, you know, our society has an epidemic of madness. Now, having drag queens, having a story hour in the libraries, I can't think in these terms without thinking about how there are parents in our society that are taking five-year-old children and having their sexes changed, like getting hormones to change their nature, you know. And, you know, adults, 40s and 50s, when, like women in menopause that are taking estrogen and that sort of thing, and men are taking testosterone, it's kind of like taking steroids. Like, we don't know the consequences of what all this is. And if you let some five-year-old decide they want to change their sex, I mean, this is a child. It's like their parents have been brainwashed. You know, we did have a Christian country, I think, at some point in our past, but we let it get taken over by secular humanism, and now, like, so many parents in our society are letting these secular humanists raise their children. So, you know, if we're going to have chaos in society, how is that a surprise? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, there's nothing to add to what you've said there, Philip. I've pretty much embraced most of what you've communicated. I will say, and I've said this before, there is really no such thing as a Christian nation. There never can be. There is no such thing. Now, I can tell you that this is a country that has embraced Christian ethics and Christian values for the most part. But I think we also agree that's been shot to hell pretty thoroughly. Let's go out to Jake in Charlotte. Good morning.
Hi there. Am I up?
You are on, Jake.
All right. Very good. Hey, I think what everybody's saying is exactly what I would want to reiterate, which is that there's got to be a standard of right and wrong. And there's a hypocrisy that's out there that we're all aware of, and that's the blackface issue. Just because somebody decided to wear blackface doesn't make them black. In fact, because somebody decided to wear blackface, it actually comes off as being highly offensive to the same liberal crowd that says that we should have drag queens pretending to be normal in front of our kids.
Yeah, kind of crazy, isn't it?
Well, when you lose standards, people cast off restraint without vision. Right?
Yep.
So if you have a vision of a proper target, I think we would all march toward that mark. But we don't have such a thing, and they are casting off restraint. I don't know what it'll take to turn the ship around, but dear Lord, make it come.
Hey, I'm fully there with you. Appreciate your call there, Jake. Let's go out to David in San Francisco.
Yeah, indeed I am. Yeah, we got sunlight a little bit ago. You know, it's Vince, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, how are you? Out here, I was talking to a woman who had taken a sex ed course in college, and she was saying that there were actually 9 different sexes. Seriously. And it's you know, some ways, somebody might have, the chromosomes. Was it the X and the Y chromosome? And it's like degrees of how many chromosomes you've got. But then there are actually people who are sexless. And, you know, some people have both body parts, let's say. And some have got preponderance of chromosomes and this and that. And so even though, you know, maybe 90% of the world's population is either X and Y, the other 7 selections come into it about a 10%, right? And so this whole idea of what's a normal person is kind of, you know, in the world of, you know, God's creatures, you know, things happen. But then there was, to add to all of that, there was a book that came out about 1999 called Our Stolen Future. And it was basically a study of how chemicals had affected the birth rate of, I don't think it was limited to America, but it gave a lot of examples in America. So you remember up in upstate New York, they had Love Canal. And all the kids that were born near Love Canal, or how many kids were born near Three Mile Island, or, you know, the Chernobyl, Fukushima, all of these people who had been irradiated at an early age, or the mothers were irradiated, and so it mutated the children. So in this book, Our Stolen Future, it was talking about the benzene and formaldehyde in the general population.
Yeah, there's people very, very concerned about the impact this, unfortunately, we're up against a hard break. We'll take more of your calls and take a look at the day in history. That's straight ahead. If you're on the line, you can be patient. We'll try to get to you again here momentarily. A couple of items I want to go through, including when we were with you on Friday, we had the announcement for the president declaring a national emergency regarding the border. One of the things he said is he fully expects this is going to lead to legal action. The Democrats are mobilizing for this. Here are his specific comments about that.
And we will then be sued, and they will sue us in the Ninth Circuit, even though it shouldn't be there. And we will possibly get a bad ruling, and then we'll get another bad ruling, and then we'll end up in the Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll get a fair shake, and we'll win in the Supreme Court, just like the ban. They sued us in the Ninth Circuit, and we lost, and then we lost in the appellate division. And then we went to the Supreme Court, and we won.
What is up with that? The president's comments on Friday. Kind of weird. But this is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out in court. By the way, speaking of the reaction to this, where is that particular story? There it is. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Those of you who support what the president's doing, guess who has come out against this particular action? Senator Tom Tillis, voicing his opposition after President Donald Trump announced his plans to sign a national emergency declaration. Tillis, in a statement, said it doesn't matter who the president is or what party they belong to. I strongly believe in the separation of powers and curbing the kind of executive overreach that Congress has allowed to fester for the better part of the last century, including during the Obama administration. Senator added he has supported the president's plans to secure the border and is frustrated congressional Democrats have blocked the reasonable and good faith efforts he's made to invest in more personnel, technology, and infrastructure in order to protect the American people. Nevertheless, I don't believe in a national emergency declaration is the solution. Tillis expressed concern the declaration will not provide enough funding to secure the border and will get tied up in litigation. Most concerning, it would create a new precedent that a left-wing president would undoubtedly utilize to implement their radical policy agenda while bypassing the authority of Congress. I'd be very interested to see, by the way, where Mr. Tillis voted, if he had the opportunity to vote, on some of these legislative efforts to give the executive branch more power to do these things in the first place? Or has Mr. Tillis proactively tried to strip some of these powers back? That's my question. I would hope somebody from Mr. Tillis's office might be listening to this program and can answer that question. What has been done to rein in overreaching executive power? What has been done proactively? I suspect a lot of nothing. This is not meant to be insulting. It's just reality. Also, we have this. Today, the president accusing Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, former FBI Director Andrew McCabe, of pursuing an illegal and treasonous plot against him. McCabe has detailed private DOJ discussions about secretly recording and potentially ousting the president. The alleged discussions have been a subject of fierce debate and conflicting accounts, by the way. McCabe revived the issue during promotional interviews for his upcoming book, telling CBS News 60 Minutes, Rosenstein was absolutely serious when he suggested recording Trump in the tumultuous days following James Comey's firing as FBI director. Trump seethed on Twitter over the comments, calling McCabe a liar before lashing out at top DOJ and FBI officials, including Jeff Sessions, for what he described as a deranged plan. He and Rod Rosenstein, who was hired by Jeff Sessions, another beauty. Boy, this is really virulent. They looked like they were planning a very illegal act and got caught. There's a lot of explaining to do to the millions of people who had just elected a president who they really like and who has done a great job for them with the military, vets, economy, and so much more. This was the illegal and treasonous insurance policy in full action, he tweeted. Oh boy, what do you do with this? What do you do? Why don't we take the opportunity to take a look at the day in history? And today, excuse me, our good friend Lonzo has the day off. How did he manage that? I didn't get the day off. So we will put Mark and John on the spot to answer some questions. We have a total of five very important questions we can put out there. We begin in 1885. 1885.
I remember it well.
Yes, you were here back then, right? Right, Mark?
Indeed.
This particular author published The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Who was it?
Samuel Clemens.
But is that a...
Mark Twain.
Okay. Yeah. Is that? I was about to ask you whether that was his real name.
Yes, that is his real name.
Very good.
That's why I dinged you.
That was clever. Quite clever. Let us see. This electoral tie was broken by what body? A tie between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr. And Jefferson became president. Who made the decision on who became president?
House of Representatives.
Mark, you are correct. This particular award program took place for the very first time in 1929. Ooh. In fact, the rest of the country didn't hear about it for several days. Variety published the list of winners on page 7. What are these awards in 1929?
What are the Academy Awards?
The Oscars? Is the that Oscars? What that is? Yeah. Yes, you are correct about this.
That's the name of their little statuette, is Oscar.
1972, this person, president, left for his historic trip to China. Who was it?
Nixon.
It was Nixon.
Who was president in 72?
You are correct. This person won the Daytona 500 after a last-lap crash, takes out Donnie Allison and Cale Yarborough. Who won that back
year?
In 1979?
79.
Who won that?
I know it wasn't Dale.
Nope.
He didn't win until long after that.
Wasn't Richard Petty, was it?
I don't think so.
Kenny Schrader?
No.
Won't be Bill Elliott. I know it ain't Bill Elliott.
Nope. Ah, man.
I know Cale Yarborough got into a fight on the last lap.
Okay.
After the wreck. I remember that.
The winner was Richard Petty.
Oh.
You were right, John Miller.
1970. Did you actually say that?
That's the first
missed
one
that.
I said.
I'm sorry about that. I somehow missed that.
You just didn't want me to win.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. Conspiracy, I tell you.
Oh, in conspiracy.
Yeah. What is that line from, by the way?
In Living Color, it's the guy with the pickle jar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. That guy. Gross. let's take a very quick call from Joe. Can you do it in 30 seconds, Joe?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that all this clamor about different sexualities being okay and that kind of thing, it just reminds me of, I'm a Christian, it reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if that's all okay, then the government's okay with it, why don't they allow people to marry as many people as they want, maybe two or three husbands or four or five, six wives, if they're going to go that far?
Well,
everything's fine.
We may get there, Joe. I mean, you know, when the argument's been made here that the groundwork has been laid, so we just never know. Appreciate your call and certainly appreciate your concerns. Wow. Interesting text here as we're still getting responses to the Drag Queen Story Hour. Vince, the drag queen mess on Sunday was just what you said it would be. They came here with their gay rent-a-mob from out of state with their huge rainbow signs, made a lot of people very angry. Then they hauled ass, leaving the good gay people in the Greenville community to have to deal with the whole community looking down at them when all they were doing is minding their own business. The Five Forks Library should be closed down. They now have opened the door to every fringe group on earth to ask for equal time here with no grounds to say no without being sued. That is from Jeff. Wow. That's a pretty interesting perspective by someone in the gay community not pleased with this. Tillis in Congress, referring to Tom Tillis opposing an executive action on the border. Tillis in Congress should do their job. Then presidents wouldn't need to seek alternative solutions. Doing this might make the Democrats do it. Seriously, anybody remember the DREAM Act? Also, someone responding to one of our previous callers, Kat, you remember her on this drag issue? Applause for Kat. Drag is not sexual in nature. One of the most popular TV series that later became a motion picture was Madea. Tyler Perry dressed up as an old grandmother. Would you object to Tyler Perry reading books to your kids dressed as Madea? That's Eric.
Tootsie. What about Tootsie? Dustin Hoffman there. Remember that?
Oh, I remember that. That one.
In the spirit of the NBA All-Star Game.
Yes.
Larry Johnson.
Grandmama.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You remember that? Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that. Very interesting.
I wanted to bring the All-Star Game in because you hadn't really talked about that today.
Did you watch?
No.
Oh, my goodness. And honestly, I'm not a big NBA fan. If you are and you want to talk about that, you want to talk about the game, you want to talk about the entire impact on the city and all of that, you're welcome to. This is an open forum in that regard. What else do we have here on the text line? Vince, does anyone know what the process is to get the library open on a Sunday to hold a storytelling event for our impressionable children? I said children. I've heard that a lot. I have nothing against the gay, drag queen, transgender community. However, the age is the issue for me. Young children should not be exposed to this because they don't understand. When my daughter was in the fifth grade, she told me she thought she was gay because she liked girls. Children don't understand the concept. I talk about it in school. I told my daughter before she makes the decision to think and understand what it's about first. I asked her a simple question. Does it feel right for you to kiss a girl or a boy? She responded, a boy. I said, okay. I don't think you're gay. It's okay to have girlfriends and boyfriends. It's just a matter of being open-minded and letting the children understand and make a choice, not pushing a certain perspective. What this particular texter is saying. What else do we have here? Oh, this text looked really interesting. Problem is, there we go. Woman from Greer. For logic of exposing young children to adult subjects like cross-dressing, transgenderism and homosexuality is a virtuous pursuit. How about a tour of abortion clinics, AIDS hospitals, and mental institutions treating those with severe depression and suicidal tendencies? Oh boy. Kind of intriguing. Let us go out to a call from Tony in Charlotte. Good morning.
Hey, Vince, how you doing this morning?
All right, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted you to give a big hooray for Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid for winning their suit against the NFL and standing up for what was right, almost losing their everything, but they stood up for principle and won. You got to know that's an American principle. Don't you think so, Vince?
So you're excited about this?
I am extremely excited about that, extremely, because it takes a little guy sometimes to stand up to the giant and win. And I think that that is such a wonderful thing, and I think that they should be praised for their stance. I really, really do. And one other thing, Kaepernick never was kneeling in objection to the flag. Come on, he was kneeling for the abuse and senseless killing by the state against black men, and that's what that was for.
I've got to ask you too, Tony, since you're excited about this subject. There's a story and speculation that Colin Kaepernick could end up here in Charlotte. What do you think?
You know what? The thing about it is his platform is so larger than the NFL. If I was Colin Kaepernick, I wouldn't even play in the NFL anymore. I really would not. His status and his platform is much bigger than the NFL. But hey, if Charlotte was to give him a contract, he's an athlete. He's a tremendous athlete. So I think it would be an asset, just as Eric Reid is. That's why he got a new deal.
All right. Fair enough. Thanks a lot for your call there, Tony. Any other takers on this? Actually, you don't have time enough to call because we don't have enough time to take your call on this. He kind of dropped a bomb here right at the end of the broadcast because some of you are probably thinking, Colin Kaepernick, you're not too excited about this. Earlier, we mentioned Tom Tillis is a rejection of the president's plan. This texter saying Tom Tillis is not a conservative. He barely ranks as a Republican. He has an F rating by Conservative Review. No help for Trump. Make America great again. Also, this texter, we were talking earlier about transgender characters, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah.
That's one we didn't mention. I mean, how many people enjoyed that movie? My kids absolutely love that movie. And, of course, again, this kid gets into age-appropriate stuff here, too. And what was the point there? It was not to – really wasn't even about transgenderism, was it? Something much deeper there. Any case, it is time to go, if you can believe it. Have yourselves a great day, and God bless you. Take care.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.